This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
Jeff Diehl, a former state representative endorsed by President Trump, has won the Republican nomination for Massachusetts governor. He will face Democrat Attorney General Mara Healey in November's general election. The search for missing billionaire heiress and kindergarten teacher Eliza Fletcher in Tennessee came to a tragic conclusion Tuesday when the body discovered in South Memphis was Eliza. Memphis Police Chief Sarah Lynn Davis.
First-degree murder and perpetration of kidnapping, especially aggravated kidnapping, and tampering with evidence.
38-year-old suspect Cleota Apstein will face a judge again this morning. Former White House advisor Steve Bannon said Tuesday that he expects to be charged soon in a state criminal case in New York City. 68-year-old Bannon plans to turn himself in on Thursday. Colorado Representative Ken Buck.
Do you experience fatigue when you know you should have energy? One reason fatigue can occur is due to a lack of antioxidants in the body. This deficiency happens the older we get, or due to eating an unhealthy diet, or even due to exercise. Your body's number one antioxidant is glutathione. When your cells are depleted of glutathione, you will be fatigued, inflamed, possibly depressed, and may also feel pain. Empirical results indicate that consuming green metal whey protein powder is the most effective means of increasing glutathione production. Green metal whey supplies nature's richest source of the precursor to making glutathione within the trillions of cells of your body. This protein strongly supports the cell's ability to make glutathione. Add to this that green metal whey also supports immunity, energy, lean muscle development, fat loss, and has anti-cancer properties, and you have nature's most complete and strongest superfood. To order, go to bestwayprotein.net. That's bestwayprotein.net. Or call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325.
You know, it's true. Difficult times have a way of focusing us. We have to think about what matters most when it comes to our spending, our health care. No doubt. This is why so many people are joining MediShare right now. MediShare is a trusted way to save up to 50% on your monthly health care costs. More than 400,000 people have already made the switch. It's pretty obvious why, too, especially now during this challenging season with healthcare costs and out-of-pocket expenses going up. MediShare can save you a lot of money. The typical family saves $500 a month. And MediShare is a Christian healthcare sharing ministry that's worked beautifully for 29 years. There are different options to choose from to fit your budget. I'll give you the number here in a second. And if you call, you can get a price within 2 minutes. Maybe now is the perfect time to make the switch and start saving. Here you go. Call 833-34-BIBLE. That's 833-34-BIBLE. 833-34-BIBLE.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
That says getting around 4,000 to around 10,000 steps per day is recommended to reduce that risk. Those between 40 and 79 who achieved the high end of the scale were 50% less likely to get dementia over a 7-year period. Those who got fewer steps in but did so at a faster pace saw their risk decline by 57%. From the USA Radio News Phoenix Bureau, I'm Tim Berg.
Vape manufacturer Juul Labs Incorporated agreed to pay at least $438.5 million in a settlement with more than 30 states. Under the deal, which includes 33 states and Puerto Rico, Juul is barred from depicting people under 35 in its marketing product placements in film and television, advertising on billboards and social media, and selling Juul-branded merchandise and funding education programs in schools. Lance Pry, USA Radio News.
O'Reilly. Improve fuel mileage with Chevron Techron Fuel System Cleaner at O'Reilly Auto Parts. A clean fuel system can increase your vehicle's performance and gas mileage. Get Chevron Techron Fuel System Cleaner starting at $9.99 and earn 10 times O Rewards points on your purchase. Get the most out of every gallon. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts or shop O'ReillyAuto.com today.
O'Reilly. oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Packages start at $29.99 a month with signed agreement. Restrictions apply. Speak to a representative for complete offer details. See Vivint.com for license details. Terms and conditions apply.
Homeowners, if you're looking for the best in home security and smart home technology at a price you can actually afford, we have great news. Now you can get Vivint's award-winning home security systems starting at about $1 a day. U.S. News and World Report has recognized Vivint as the best professionally installed home security system of 2022. And right now, you can get Vivint's home security technology for about $1 a day. Plus, get free professional installation from a licensed technician. Protect your home and loved ones for as low as $1 a day. Call right now for your free home security consultation.
800-584-2518. 800-584-2518. 800-584-2518. That's 800-584-2518.
Bill Martinez.
You better stop. What's that sound? Everybody look what's growing.
6 minutes after the top of the hour, Bill Martinez with you. Good to have you with us. And we also have Ethan Shorin, his new book about Benghazi. Amazing when you think about it. It's Benghazi, a new history of the fiasco that pushed America and its world to the brink by this former diplomat and political analyst who, for all intents and purposes, you were an eyewitness to Benghazi, were you not, Ethan?
Yes, I wasn't actually on the in the diplomatic compound at the time of the attack, but I was nearby and I was on the phone with one of Ambassador Stevens' security people when the attack occurred.
When you were in conversation and you were hearing what's going on, what were your thoughts?
Well, my thoughts are probably not printable. I was terrified. We had there were some strange things going around town just before the attack, and I had spoken to a colleague who was working with a hospital that we were helping bring American support to, and there was concern that something untoward was going on at the mission. Anyway, it was terrifying. So I spent much of the night listening to gunfire and the initial RPG fire, and wondering. We didn't know exactly what had happened. It took several hours for that to become a bit more clear.
I can read a little bit. My son happened to be online, as you know. One of those that died was a gamer, and he was on he was connected on a international gaming exercise that all these gamers were involved with, and they heard, and my son heard the beginnings of what was going on, and their stomachs were immediately turned inside out because they knew that it wasn't, just something, a breakup here. I think that it was even said at one point that they were taking fire and they could hear some sounds in the background. And here they are innocently involved with, a video game. A competition kind of thing, and hearing this, and to hear my son relate from his perspective, of course, for you, you're a lot closer to this, and you understood the clear and present danger, and here you are staying connected and understanding that, we've got a facility, a U.S. facility that is under attack.
Yes, and it was doubly concerning because I knew I knew Chris Stevens very quite well, and I was very concerned about what was happening with him and his colleagues. You described your son's feeling of the stomach turning, and that's exactly how it felt. And in my book, the prologue of the book is essentially the immediate things that were going on, what we were seeing the day before the attack and just up to the attack. And it was extremely frightening experience and very tragic. Of course, the book looks at the much bigger there's been a lot that's been said about the 13 hours around the attack itself. Mm-hmm. And my book looks at the much broader context: what came before, and how did we get into this position to begin with over the course of 7 years of relations with Libya before that, and what happened after and since. And that's one of the big paradoxes of Benghazi, is there was all of this noise for so long about the back and forth, partisan retributions, etc., and we've really sort of forgotten or taken our eyes off what that event turned us into in a way. Mm-hmm. I argue that the world we're living in today with respect to domestic politics and also foreign policy is largely a world that was impacted in a not insignificant way by Benghazi and the scandal that followed it.
Well, we didn't have any scandals, according to Barack Obama.
I use the word scandal in terms of a large amount of noise that went on for a long time.
No, I'm not trying to be semantic here. I agree with you. It's an absolute scandal. And this is something that will be inextricably linked to one Hillary Clinton forever in other books and movies, you know. But there's still so much, as you say, and I appreciate your approach to give us a broader view and understanding, because everything in America has been so politicized. Benghazi was politicized. And so in the political fog of everything, so much gets lost in translation, doesn't it, Ethan?
Well, of course. I mean, I think the two points. I think the Benghazi. What happened in Benghazi was a perfect, not to use this, very, very few good words to use for it, but fiasco, scandal, what have you, for a whole range of reasons. I mean, all of the ingredients of a blowout were present before it happened, but there was something particularly toxic about the ingredients of Benghazi. One, of course, it was just before the election in 2012, in which, the whole issue of 9/11 and the war on terror, et cetera, was a major issue of contention between Republicans and Democrats. It was it was on the anniversary of the original 9/11. And it was also a particular point in the evolution of social media, where I spoke for the book. I interviewed a number of data scientists and people who track the development of social media over the years, and they've basically argued that had Benghazi taken place a bit, several months before, the technology for taking an event like that and turning it into the feedstock for such a blowout just didn't quite exist. And you put all those together with the fact that Benghazi is a place that Americans, for the most part, know very little about, and on which you can project any kind. Both sides could project pretty much whatever image they wanted without anybody being able to contradict them. So it was, and as a result, it became. In my book, I try to be I'm on the left side of the spectrum myself, but I've tried very hard to be as objective as I can in again looking at the context and the broader context and what happened to this country is in part as a result.
If the objective But if the objective is not to experience this again, and here we are, we have four Americans that died, and, what is the redemption in it? What can we draw for the sake of these four men that died in Benghazi? How can we be better off if there is no objective perspective here? Regardless, this isn't about a left or right deal. It's like, okay, what the heck happened in Benghazi?
Mm-hmm. Well, I totally agree with you. There are some very profound lessons to be drawn, and I think that as with previous attacks under both Democratic and Republican administrations, Washington is a bit preoccupied with covering it itself moving on and not taking the lessons that should be taken from it. I think, if there's one entity that has benefited from all of this, unfortunately, it's the people who who ultimately committed these acts themselves. They couldn't believe, they probably could not have imagined that they could turn America on itself to such an enormous degree.
Yeah, and seemingly so easily. We've got to go to quick break. We'll be back with Ethan Chorin. We're talking about his new book, Benghazi. Stay with us.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
Hey trader, listen up. The markets have changed. Have you changed your trading strategies? Vantage Point can help you conquer volatility. Learn to trade with artificial intelligence. Text the word money to 813-813 and discover how to predict stock market trends 1 to 3 days in advance with up to 87.4% proven accuracy. No matter which way the market moves, Vantage Point's patented AI can give you a massive edge. Text money to 813-813 to get what you need to stay ahead of markets and find your best entries and exits. Text the word money to 813-813.
Trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors. Past results do not guarantee future performance. By texting, you agree to the terms available at vantagepointsoftware.com/terms and consent to receive calls and texts using automated technology about offers or info by or on behalf of Vantage Point. Your consent is not a condition to purchase and can be revoked at any time. Message and data rates may apply.
Text money to 813-813.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
If you're 65 or older and Medicare is your main source of insurance, pay close attention right now and listen for details on how you may save thousands of dollars on your healthcare costs. Did you know that Medicare can pay for things like dental visits, home delivery of drugs, even a gym membership? Call us right now and learn how to unlock all your Medicare benefits. Medicare and supplemental plans that we provide can even offer you drug coverage with zero copays and pay for transportation to your doctors. Medicare plans can offer you wonderful money-saving benefits, but you've got to call now. We'll help you get the most out of your Medicare. Make this free, no-obligation call now. Save a ton of money on your health care costs and get the code to unlock all your earned Medicare benefits. Paid for by Senior Choice Plans. 800-796-3954. 800-796-3954. That's 800-796-3954.
This is Don Shank with today's global update from the Tide Ministry, sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ worldwide in the languages people were born to speak. Did you know that another name for India is Hindustan? It literally means place of Hindus. Consequently, Christians in India are often told they don't belong there, and they encounter severe religious persecution. The Tide Ministry is dedicated to expanding God's kingdom into regions that have yet to hear of the gospel, and listeners often write to thank us for sharing the good news. Praise God that people are responding to the gospel message despite the persecution that follows. In areas that have severe persecution, the need for the gospel becomes even greater. People are desperate for hope, and we at the Tide Ministry are committed to pointing them to Jesus as their Savior and a solid foundation to stand on. To learn how you can help the Tide Ministry share the good news of Christ in places like India and other regions around the globe, visit thetide.org. That's thetide.org.
We're back with you, America. 19 minutes after the top of the hour, fresh and independent, just the way you'd like to hear from us. We're talking with Ethan Chorin, his book, Benghazi, A New History of the Fiasco That Pushed America and Its World to the Brink. To the brink of what?
Well, that's just it. I think the brink of, it's a major event. Benghazi has been dismissed as something ultimately in part by both sides as something inconsequential that took up a lot of space and maybe even a little bit of money to investigate, but ultimately had no impact. And in fact, as I argue in the book, Benghazi had, I mean, it had a long lead up in terms of the policies and mistakes that America made that put us in that situation to begin with, but it had an enormous impact on the way that we have evolved since. As I was saying before, I mean, I look at it as, if you see the original 9/11 as the big event, Benghazi was like a signal booster. It took all of the discord that came out of that, if some of that was spiraling out and petering out in some ways, it boosted it and brought it back to the fore.
Exactly.
And it had a major impact on for one, there's something within the Beltway called the Benghazi effect. Not everybody uses this term, but many senior American officials and intelligence and security have used this term to indicate a pervasive risk aversion that essentially American officials were convinced by the scandal that the last thing they wanted to do was to expose themselves to something like that again. And that had almost instantaneously an effect on U.S. relations with and the situation on the ground in Libya, in places like Syria. That's an issue that has never really been fully dissected.
Exactly.
I'd argue even that it turned America towards much more towards remote control warfare in places like Yemen. Even if the number of attacks didn't increase over the Obama administration from Bush, they certainly became much more intense in certain ways, and there were casualties as a result of that, which turned Yemenis against us and took our eye off the ball from issues like the Houthi rebellion, which was spreading and ultimately helped produce the humanitarian disaster in Yemen these days. So, you know, essentially we're not on the ground in the numbers and in the ways that we used to be. And as a result, our adversaries are taking advantage, whether it's, extremists or countries like China, which are looking at this and going, okay, well, we really weren't planning on having a strong role politically, at least, in the Middle East. China has always taken a kind of a hands-off role with that in respect to local politics, but the United States is absent, and there's an opportunity here. Same with Russia.
Oh, without a doubt. Yeah, and the thing is, I want to go back to what you said earlier, and that was the control of the narrative. This is the other, outcome of what happened in Benghazi. It was as if the whole media landscape altered dramatically. Everybody wanted to believe in Barack Obama so much, and there was without question. I mean, he was just given an incredible amount of latitude, and there was no, or I should say, very little objective reporting. And so when Benghazi happened, like you said, it was all about covering everybody's back end here, and now they come up with this faux story that it was all about a video, right? That, here you got the Secretary of State. Secretary of State. Putting out report. Go ahead.
Here's where I probably diverge from you. I think first that there is a need to look a bit more carefully at the Obama administration, which has essentially been somewhat immune to criticism from the left for quite some time. I happen to think that the Obama administration did had some very good intentions and did some very good things, but in the Middle East, I think one of the issues was that essentially all of them saw this as a toxic mess that they really didn't want to get involved in, and we kind of got partially involved, and that was worse than not being involved at all in some ways. But I would put forth that actually Hillary Clinton found herself in a particularly awkward, if not painful situation, sandwiched between the Obama administration narrative as it emerged, and there's some subtleties to this, and the Republican irritation. Initially, I think, warranted irritation at the murkiness of what was going on in Benghazi, with nowhere to turn. and she became a lightning rod for what were largely almost overwhelmingly political attacks, which had very little, you know, to do. If you want to attach something to Hillary Clinton, it was her support for the intervention in Libya to begin with. And the question of whether she felt she had the support from the Obama administration that was required to actually make a success of that intervention, particularly if it led to the overthrow of Gaddafi. And what we wound up doing was essentially repeating the mistakes of Iraq, where we created this political vacuum and had nothing exactly prepared to insert it in there. And Libya has since been 10 years of civil conflict in which Russia has been a major player, and so has Turkey. So this was a disaster, and millions of people's lives have been harmed by this. So that goes back to the institutional issues. I mean, America is really bad at doing intervention.
No, I agree, and I don't see you and I do. And maybe I missed something, but I don't see you and I departing here. I mean, I brought up the idea that you know, Hillary was pushing this video, and you say this is where you and I depart. And I don't want to get, you know, into semantics on this deal.
No. I just think there's a point there that's worth noting, is that very few people have actually looked at the situation in which individuals within the administration and outside found themselves as a result of what became two very quickly intertwined narratives that departed from truth in some significant ways. I keep thinking, you know, what would have happened if the Republicans and Democrats were forced to sit in the same room and have some all-knowing arbiter basically explain where they went wrong and where they were right? And I think both sides would feel vindicated to a certain degree and also deflated. And it might actually be good for the country.
That's the bottom line. It's good for the country. I don't care about deflation. I care about what's good for the country. We lost four patriots in this process here. And, and something went badly wrong that, to me, was more than a video. And you said that you also mentioned Syria, the Syrian connection. And as you said, there were lots of things that led up to this. This wasn't just 13 hours. This is 7 years plus that led to this tragic incident in Benghazi. And supposedly there was guns being run. You would know better than I that there was gun running going into Syria, and that this was part of the problem, and that somehow Libya was the crossroads of all this. What can you tell us about this? We've got about a minute and a half left here, Ethan. I could have you on for hours. We could go on in depth. I mean, this is, you've done a great job in your book here, but go ahead.
Yeah, well, of course, the Syria connection is one that has not been fully investigated. I think because both sides, I know the Benghazi Committee attempted at one point to get more information about it, which seemed to have been stymied. And there's good reason, essentially, when it comes down to it, the American government really couldn't wrap its head around the question of which rebels in Libya and Syria were friendly to us and which were antagonistic to us. We really had very little information, and we worked through, given the Obama administration's desire to work at arm's length, we worked through proxies. And the proxies themselves had agendas that we didn't fully understand. So we essentially, ultimately, Benghazi was the result of our being essentially pushed over by people with whom we developed a temporary alliance without being fully sure of their loyalty.
Congratulations on the book. Thank you. I mean, this is really,
thank you for having
me. Appreciate all the hard work that you did on this. It'll be linked on our website. Ladies and gentlemen, I know you still have answers. I mean, you still have questions. Ethan will give you a lot of answers in this book, Benghazi, A New History of the Fiasco That Pushed America and Its World to the Brink. And I look forward to having you back, as we need to do a follow-up on this, Ethan. There's so much more to cover about this great story here on Benghazi. Thank you for being with us. Take care.
Thank you for having me.
You got it.
How would you like to publish and sell your own audiobook? Great stories deserve great storytelling. Audiobook Network provides professional voice actors and full production services for every author's manuscript. You'll choose from one of our many voice actors. Bring your story to life with audiobooks.
Consumers are mobile these days, and having an audiobook helps authors reach a larger customer base, which increases book sales. From narration, production, and editing to distribution, promotion, and sales, Audiobook Network does it all for you. We hold your hand throughout the entire production process. We'll create an audiobook that you can be proud of. It doesn't cost or take as much time as you may think. In fact, for us, it's pretty easy. It's what we do. If you've got a published print book, ebook, or even a manuscript, give Audiobook Network a call right now and get our free audiobook guide. 800-781-0987. 800-781-0987. That's 800-781-0987.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
Four people were killed in California wildfires over the last few days. Record-breaking temperatures and drought are fueling the events. Over 4,000 firefighters are battling 14 large fires around the state. In fact, 45 new fires erupted on Sunday alone. The Washington Post is reporting a document describing a foreign government's military defenses, including its nuclear capabilities, was one of the documents in the FBI search last month. President Trump's Florida home. Jeff Diehl, a former state representative endorsed by President Trump, has won the Republican nomination for Massachusetts governor. He will now run against Democrat Attorney General Mara Healey in November.
You know, this campaign has always been about you, the people of Massachusetts. I am tremendously humbled and honored to have received your support at the polls today.
Lance Pry, USA Radio News.
Are you watching your retirement savings melt away right in front of your eyes as the economy crumbles? Well, if you have an IRA, 401k, or similar account, I need to tell you about a better way that was revealed by a Wall Street Journal best-selling book. Simply put, you can opt out of the insanity and convert your existing retirement account into the most stable physical asset in history, physical gold and silver. Plus, this conversion might qualify you for an IRS loophole that could save you even more. Today, Advantage Gold is giving away a completely free audiobook version of the national bestseller, Gold is a Better Way. Just text the word better to 48542 to get your copy. That's BETTER to 48542. By the time you drive home, this simple step may save the future value of your retirement. It's not too late if you're not prepared. You can take action now and claim a free copy. Text the word better to 48542. That's BETTER to 48542. Message and data rates may apply.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor.
Before the top of the hour, Bill Martinez here. Good to have you with us, and it's great to have Mark Morano with us. He had gave us a little early heads up that his book was going to be coming out, The Great Reset, Global Elites and the Permanent Lockdown, and here he is to tell us the whole truth and nothing but. Mark, welcome back. Good to have you with us.
Happy to be here, Bill. Thank you so much.
Well, your book is the antidote, as you say, to the left senator's sinister push to use a worldwide crisis to infuse our lives with the values of colossal statism, dystopian self-hatred, all accelerated by the duplicitous manipulation of this recent pandemic. So break it down for us.
Well, what's happened here essentially is there have been forces at play, even for 100 years, at least going to Woodrow Wilson, 1913, his administration, the idea of rule by experts, by unelected bureaucrats, that the general public wasn't smart enough or talented enough or focused enough to run their lives, and we need to speed huge aspects of our life to these credentialed experts who would decide, make decisions for us, and plan our lives. You know, that is a battle of the state back and forth, but 9/11 comes along, and then you have the terrorism emergency declaration, which gives us the Patriot Act, which gives us sort of a surveillance state, biosecurity surveillance state. COVID came along, and that was the whole enchilada, because it essentially gave the once free West Chinese one-party rule, where you could have mayors, governors, presidents, anyone in executive position just declare no weddings, funerals, barbecues, mask mandates, no need for any kind of legislator, democracy, parliament, town halls, and House of Representatives. So instead, what's happened is they want to keep this party going of emergency rule, one-party rule, to the World Economic Forum in June of 2020, which is the title of my book, Great Reset. announced that now is a narrow, rare window of opportunity in which to reset the planet, reset global capitalism, and essentially give us this sort of expert control over every aspect of our life. And a reset would mean the U.S. is no longer the superpower. You'll own nothing. You'll be happy. You'll have no privacy. Life will never, you'll never be happier. And that's what we're living under. It's essentially an effort to keep the COVID lockdowns going as long as possible and damage our old economy as much as possible so that we rely more and more upon government and these experts.
And since 1913, we have so much evidence, Mark, that these so-called experts are doing such an outstanding job in running our country that we can be at peace over this new great reset that Klaus Schwab and the World Economic Forum has announced for us, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. If you look at the history of the 20th century, it was, you know, in terms of totalitarian regimes and fighting against them. But the irony of this is, and I delve into this, you know, you have so many of our Western leaders now praising China's one-party rule. Well, back in the 1930s, I have a quote. I have Stuart, his name is Stuart Chase. He was a kitchen cabinet advisor to Franklin Delano Roosevelt, 1932 book. He was extolling the virtues of a planned central economy. It sounds like the Great Reset it planned in 1932. His final line that I quote in the book is, why should Russia have all the fun remaking the planet? And today you could update that to today's modern leaders, or why should China have all the fun, you know, remaking society? And that's what we're finding. Back, if you remember the NAFTA debates of the 90s, the free trade, it was always kind of like, hey, if we, you know, we do this and China gets more economic growth, then China will liberalize and they'll become more like us. Well, what happened was China stole all of our jobs, gutted our industrial base, and guess what? We're becoming more like China with the social credit system, with ESG. So that I deal with in the book. It's the Chinification of America.
Yeah, exactly. And the thing is that, you know, like, as you said, we've heard it from the mouths of Western leader, whether it's Justin Trudeau. What was it in 2016 announced that, you know, that in his opinion, that China had the best form of government running. Nancy Pelosi has suggested as much here recently, and other leaders within our government, the same thing, have been looking to China as the standard bearer of, you know, the new government on the horizon. And I'm just, you know, I'm wondering, you know, if the American people are, you know, if they're growing in awareness of this pernicious movement and this acceptance and the sellout of the American dream by our, you know, supposed elected brain trust that knows so much, right?
Well, people weren't really in tune until COVID hit. And then, of course, most people went along with COVID. And I liken this to climate change. If you go back to the 80s, not much change in people's fear of climate change. And they just realized climate was never going to move the needle, if you will, for totalitarian big government central planners. So a virus comes along and it cuts across party line, ideology, age groups. It scared everyone. And they did the same model. You know, they did the same thing. They had Neil Ferguson in the UK, the virus modeler, come out and say, 20 million dead unless we do, drum roll please, exactly what China does. Oh my gosh, we need to lock down and nail people in their homes and shut down society and empower big pharma and bureaucrats. And that's how this happened. And so I think people have been red-pilled, so much so that I have an entire chapter devoted to liberals who literally are like shocked at Naomi Wolf, former Clinton Gore advisor, who says, I never would have voted for Biden if I realized he was going to impose COVID tyranny. Robert F. Kennedy Jr., the Hollywood actor Russell Brand, who was previously a socialist, is now like railing against the Great Reset, COVID restrictions. Bill Maher sounds like a freedom fighter against, you know, the COVID lockdowns and the Great Reset. Then I go to Glenn Greenwald, all these progressives and liberals who converted. It's been eye-opening, and I think the average American seeing critical race theory at the school board level and the transgender agenda and the COVID theater with the masking of their children and vax mandates. They showed up at these school board meetings. This has been part of the great reject. This is our way out. We have to awaken that great giant. Everyone's been red-pilled now. We can no longer believe all these institutions, you know, have our best interests at heart at this point.
they really have lost credibility. I mean, Neil Ferguson, I am shocked. I got to tell you, decades later, that we still even hear his name, Mark, frankly. Because when anybody, you know, reports like what he has done, you know, initially about climate, I mean, America was supposed to be, half of America was supposed to be underwater by now, was it not, according to him?
Well, Neil Ferguson, I don't know if he said that one, but that was, there's a couple different people that have made similar predictions like that. Going back to 1970, whether you're talking overpopulation, resource scarcity, famines, climate change, Paul Ehrlich had made similar predictions. Neil Ferguson did it all in the virus world. And so what's happened, I have a whole chapter devoted to the corruption of science. And the gist of it is this. Science isn't, we don't follow the science. The science is created to support policies that have already been made. In other words, the science is cherry-picked and designed to do that,
You got to stop. Say that again one more time, because people need to hear this, because this is the whole truth and nothing but. Go ahead, one more time, say it.
Yeah, we don't, it's not that we have to follow the science. The science is quite literally created and manufactured to support policies already made. And that's what we found with climate. That's what we found with COVID at every turn, no matter what happened. And here's the thing. We know this is the case because any epidemic, and I'm talking about the most prestigious, honored, credentialed epidemiologists, were literally deplatformed, canceled, censored. One of them was Michael Levitt, a Nobel Prize winning, I believe he's from Stanford University epidemiology. He was uninvited from scientific conferences because he didn't support lockdowns. This is how the scientific community rallied around the political message. And then two examples. California's got a bill right now telling doctors they cannot give advice or author studies or papers or promote data that's contrary to public health information. And the same is happening in Australia. In other words, they're being told by their medical associations, we don't care what the facts are, what your advice is and what any papers you author or research you conduct, if it contradicts the stated statements by Fauci et al. In public health, then it's wrong and you will be canceled, censored, your career at stake. This is what we're dealing with. And if there's any, I hate to call people idiots, but people, unless they realize this is what's happening, has nothing to do with the science or facts. And, well, my doctor said this. Well, maybe your doctor didn't research it enough if you're talking in the case of vaccines, or maybe your doctor's afraid for his job, or maybe your doctor hasn't looked at all the latest data and evidence. I mean, I don't. People need to really even question at this point where their own doctor, especially if they're pushing these mandated vaccines on them.
Mark, we got to go to break. Let's pick it up on the other side. More from Mark Morano after this. Stay with us.
Hey folks, here's great news for active aging seniors. The Kanega Watch, the only medical alert smartwatch with built-in fall detection. Yeah, the Kanega Watch is much different than the other guys. It's a stylish, discreet watch you can wear all the time. Get help through the watch in one of three ways. Your voice, pushing the watch's alert button, or have the fall detection connect you to a U.S.-based 24/7 monitoring center who'll speak to you through your watch and can send help to your GPS location nationwide. And get this, it can do that even if you're not responsive. This is true 24/7 peace of mind for you and those that love you. Order your Kanega watch with a full refund 30-day trial period. Call now, 800-475-6824. 800-475-6824. 800-475-6824. That's 800-475-6824.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-536-4436. That's 800-536-4436. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-536-4436.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
What are you going to do with your old car? You can try selling it, you could junk it, or you could donate it to Heritage for the Blind. Your car will be towed away for free, and your donation is tax deductible. Just call 1-800-785-9618. Heritage for the Blind accepts cars, vans, trucks, and boats. It doesn't matter if your vehicle runs or not. It will be towed away for free, and you'll be supporting those that need help. Heritage for the Blind is a nonprofit organization that helps the visually impaired live fuller lives. Call right now to donate your car, and as a special thank you for calling, you'll receive a free 3-day vacation voucher to many exciting locations. Call Heritage for the Blind right now, 1-800-785-9618. Donating is easy, and your vehicle is towed away for free. Plus, you'll get a free vacation voucher. Call now, 1-800-785-9618. That's 1-800-785-9618.
Right here, right now, Bill Martinez.
Back, America. 14 minutes before the top of the hour, we're talking with Mark Morano, The Great Reset, his new book, Global Elites and the Permanent Lockdown. Mark, some people, we needed to take that break because people were taking it, you know, they were starting to pass out when they heard what was going on and just how manipulative science has become, that it's there to, as you say, science has been created and manufactured to support policies. And we've seen this time and time again. You and I have had this discussion, especially when it comes, you know, the climate science. Here it is. I mean, they utilize the taxpayers' money to make sure that the narrative that they want to support their policies is produced, and anything with objectivity, that will be canceled or greatly ignored, and it has no coverage. And meanwhile, you know, the media that we expect to protect our constitutional rights and our liberties, they've checked out because they're bought and sold by these controlling interests, are they not?
They are. I mean, in the case of Bill Gates, I think he's given almost $300 million to various media. And I detail in the book interviews, softball interviews from PBS and other outlets. He literally is, these are paid infomercials. You ever wonder why Bill Gates has never asked a single challenging question ever? Have you ever seen an interview where it's never happened? It can happen. And this is what we're dealing with. And even people like Rachel Maddow take big pharmaceutical money, that production and MSNBC. And the idea here is they are cheerleaders. And so what's happened to journalism, and I detail this, is, and I actually use some of the work of Glenn Greenwald and cite him. Mm-hmm. The gist of it is, in the old days, 60s and 70s, when the rise of the Watergate journalists, it was all about punching up, not punching down, not going after the average citizen, but going after the big institutions. So you had this questioning the Vietnam War, the Pentagon Papers, toppling Richard Nixon for abuse of power, whatever you want to say it was. All of that was about question authority, and now it's on its head as government pays, as they're beholden to actually the national security state. So many of these rely on MSNBC, CNN, The Washington Post, New York Times, are all intelligence agents basically spreading the government's message out there. And if anyone disagrees, it's labeled as false misinformation, and the media is there now to protect the large and powerful. Protects the corporations, it protects big government, it protects everyone but the little guy, and it punches down. Even comedy punches down. Saturday Night Live does skits on parents not willing to wear masks. They never do a skit making fun of Fauci or Joe Biden. I mean, that's just incredible. But they'll go after the people who don't want to buy the narrative.
Yes, the domestic terrorists. You know, and the thing is, you bring up a good point here, Mark, and that is that the way they have captured, you know, the narrative to which allows them the ability to invalidate and cancel any contrarian view. And I think it's interesting that here it is, you know, you had the hippies who early in the, you know, when we were growing up in the 70s, they said, hey, you got to question authority. Now that they're in authority, how dare you question authority, right?
Well, yeah, that's right. And there's people who love, the linguist, what's his name? The intellectual left-wing Noam Chomsky, right? Now, Chomsky made his chops about the Vietnam War and talking about how essentially that, you know, this is the powers that be. We need to fight them, and they're bringing us war and corporate control and greed. And then the left essentially seizes control of all those vestiges. They now own academia, the powers of unelected bureaucrats. Public health is all dominated by leftists. And so what is, and corporate boards cower. 40 years ago, left-wing attacked corporations as greed. Now they say nothing because every corporate board in America cowers at progressive activists on trans and critical race, climate change, you name it. So even people like Noam Chomsky are being criticized now by fellow progressives as being essentially not genuine. I mean, they were all against the man, right? Against the man in power.
Right, exactly.
Until they became in power or friends with those in power or benefited, and suddenly they were no longer against the man. They were for the man and against all the people below the man, and that's where we are right now.
Right, exactly. And now we're entering into the new normal that you're right about, right?
The new normal is frightening, and the gist of it is, first of all, the biggest thing, the most pressing, we face a couple pressing immediate threats. What they're trying to do is, first of all, collapse our energy, and they're very successful at that, and that's happening globally. That's been happening with the climate agenda, net zero, Green New Deal. So energy shortages, now in real time, we're watching them collapse our food supply. We're seeing what's happening in the Netherlands, largest exporter of meat in Europe, second largest exporter of food, collapsing almost 12,000 farms, all the medium, small, and mom and pop family generation owned farms. Guess who's going to replace those? It's either going to be billionaires like Bill Gates, equity asset firms, China, and they're going to toe the line. They're trying to prevent and stop high yield agriculture. This is also happening through EU rules in Poland, Albania, Australia just announced they're going after modern high yield agriculture fertilizer, which is going to cut radically food supply. And so what's going to happen is Bill Gates is already the number one landowner in America of farmland. China is also competing with him for that. So we're facing an energy shortage, a food shortage, and then what's the third? Freedom of movement. We have Governor Gavin Newsom announcing the end of gas-powered cars by 2035, 14 states following suit, the Biden administration jumping on, Europe jumping on. Australian banks now will not give loans if anyone's trying to buy a gas-powered car due to the planetary injustice of it. And the World Bank has announced at the automaker level that they're going to stop allowing financing for the production of that. So what does this mean, the car? It's only one thing. The electric cars are a few percent of our total sales. It means they're now announcing massive car shortages. And this is going to take a page from Cuba, where they drive only old cars around. They can't buy new ones. And it's going to take a page from East Germany. Remember, the government in East Germany, back before they fell, said you can only buy one government-approved car, the Trabant. It was a crappy little car, and people would be on waiting lists for 5-7 years. That's what we're looking at here, because there's no way electric cars could ever come up to scale. And I won't even get into the environmental lack of environmental benefits of an electric car, reliance on China, rare earth mining, etc. But for the moment, all you need to know is they can't meet it, so they're creating car shortages, which is, by the way, in line with what the World Economic Forum wants. They don't want you to own a car. The UK Transportation Secretary just announced this year that owning a car is outdated 20th century thinking. The UN actually had a decree called the Vancouver Declaration that said that owning land creates inequity and promotes concentration of wealth and therefore should be discouraged. So when they say you'll own nothing, they actually mean it. And that is a big tenet of the Great Reset.
Well, Mark, as you forecast early, and it's easy to look at this stuff, you know, the shortage of food, energy sector compromised. Boy, I'll tell you, in terrible condition.
Yeah, but
I'm just thinking just in terms of how many people are going to be freezing this winter, freezing to death. How many people are going to be dying from starvation, you know, this winter? I mean, this is not about
when
well.
You
this,
look,
yeah.
The BBC is warning of a physical lack, absence of energy in Europe. Now, here's where it's shocking. We are going back two centuries to pre-industrialization, pre-industrialized Europe. When was the last time in anyone's lifetime living where people feared the winter in the developed world? Okay, in places that don't have, you know, maybe in the Arctic, indigenous communities or something, but the idea of developed Europe now fearing winter because they don't have fuel and they're facing mass freezing death. And by the way, cold kills at least 8 to 20 times or more times than heat kills. If you look at the global statistics,
yes, exactly.
Cold
yes.
is the big killer. That's important to note. But this is like turning the page back to primitivism. Why is Europe fearing winter? Because they've embraced a climate great reset agenda, which is essentially going to force more reliance on government. Because in the end, government's going to come in and say, we need to nationalize all these industries. We're going to subsidize all this. We're going to give you a guaranteed income, annual income, and you're not going to have to worry about it. There's an energy crisis. We're here to save you. Turn over your lives to government. There's a food crisis. We're here to save you. Turn over your lives to government. And there's now a transportation. You're going to have to take government-run mass transit. Do you get the picture of what's happening here in rapid fashion?
Is it also included in this is their idea that the world population is too large, that the Earth cannot sustain 8 billion people. And so
yes.
if we lose 30-40% of the world's population, that serves their goal as well.
Well, you're being generous when you say only 30-40%. I interviewed a man named Hans Schulenhuber, German climate advisor, UN climate summit in Germany a few years back. And one of his stated writings and others who share is they think the carrying capacity of the Earth, in other words, the optimal amount of humans for Earth, is about 1 billion people. We currently have, I believe it's 7.8 billion at last count.
Close to 8 billion.
So you can
do
the math. Eliminate almost 7 billion people from our Earth is ultimately what they see as a human utopia. Al Gore goes to a Bill Gates event with Bill Gates on the stage, two white, wealthy Westerners, and Al Gore says to Bill Gates, who nods in approval, that Africa is projected to have more population than China and India combined by 2050. And this is almost exact quotes. And he said, that's why we need ubiquitous fertility management in order to... In other words, a white, wealthy Western politician is warning the world that there's going to be too many people of color by 2050, so we need fertility management to get them under control. Does that sound like any other ideology you remember that maybe begins with an E, i.e. eugenics almost? So
yes,
this
exactly.
is what we're dealing with, and that's at the heart of this absolutely is population fears.
Unbelievable. So much in this book, I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, is an eye-opener, and it will convince you that your eyes are not lying to you, that you know the truth, but you've got to embrace and hold on to that truth if you want to remain free. The Great Reset, Global Elites and the Permanent Lockdown from Mark Morano. Mark, appreciate it. We'll link the book at our website at BillMartinezLive.com. Godspeed, my friend.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Appreciate it. Thank you.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. yours free at mysolarbackup.com.
G'day.